Welcome to the Dildork Storky Discourse on Sex, Dating, and Masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I think I have a little bit of a kink for giving people orgasms in new ways that they had never orgasmed before. It's a very powerful feeling. You're just like plucking new pleasures from the air and bestowing them upon people. Who are you, friend?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Aww.
I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger. And I realized yesterday that I have been living in this apartment for almost a month and have only jerked off once.
Wow.
So I've not had nearly enough orgasms in this space, and That's odd, and I'm going to fix it.
Yeah, well, moving is stressful. That makes sense to me. You got to settle. You got to unpack the whole toy collection. You got to do all this stuff.
Yeah, I think it's just, honestly, I had a routine for jerking off that existed in a different room on a different bed.
Yeah.
And it fully just hasn't occurred to me. Like,
I feel that. Like, that's a pandemic mood, I think.
Yeah, like, I've just had so much else going on, and I'm like, oh, right. I did that, like, damn near daily. That was probably good for me. I should,
Can I tell you, so for our listeners, we are doing a show this week on orgasms because I think December 21st, which is the day before this episode comes out, is Global Orgasm Day. And the reason I always remember that is because I had a friend in high school who that was her birthday, and every year we would like make a bunch of jokes about it. And then also we started using the term celebrate to mean masturbate, because when it's Global Orgasm Day, it's like, hey, did you celebrate yet?
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
Yeah, but I wanted to tell you, I love when I get to tell you fresh sex stories on the pod.
Yes.
Last night, my partner's in chastity right now. Mm-hmm. And last night, they were fucking me with a strap-on. They like to use my cute little Rodeo H one, which I really like.
Ooh, yeah.
And afterward, they were like begging me to come because they got turned on fucking me with a strap-on. And I was like, well, I don't really, didn't want to unlock them. So I just started jerking off the strap-on. And then they came in their chastity cage. It was fucking
amazing.
Awesome.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
It was
very
so cool.
Great.
I love bodies and I love queer bodies.
I know. It reminds me of the first time I sucked my partner's strap on.
Mm.
And we filmed it because we were like, wait, this has never happened. And also we have access to a camera. Why would we not? so you can find that on the internet at BellyLore. but also, there is a moment, and like, you can see it because obviously I have watched this video several times for editing purposes solely because I'm a professional exclusively. Anyway, yeah, sure. There is a moment that you can like watch me realize I'm going to be able to make them come this way and go, oh, we're doing that then. Okay. Like, you can see me see it as an option and double down and be like, oh, cool, that'll be fun.
It is interesting when you're doing a new thing that someone hasn't been able to come from before and you kind of realize that. And it is interesting to notice like how you'll change your approach. Like, I noticed this a while ago with Matt and like slapping their cock because we were getting into like CBT stuff. And I think the way that my approach changed was like it became more rhythmic. It became more about not each individual slap, but, you know, the overall tapestry of slaps or slapestry, if you will. I'm like a drink and a half in. Sorry, folks. It's gonna be a silly episode, I think.
I am okay with that.
Yeah. So at the time that you're listening to this, it was Global Orgasm Day yesterday, or it may have been Global Orgasm Day, a totally different day. I have no idea when you're listening to this. But in any case, orgasms are an interesting topic all year round. And it turns out that our listeners had a lot of questions actually about orgasms, which makes sense. I feel like it's an area where people have a lot of anxiety. Despite it being this, you know, very pleasurable thing, stereotypically, people have a lot of like thoughts and worries about orgasms. And we've talked about them a lot here before, of course, but like people still have thoughts and worries and questions. And so I thought it'd be nice to do a little listener questions episode about orgasms.
And the listener question ones are always my favorite, to be honest.
They're so fun. Please send them. We love getting them. And I especially love the satisfaction of arranging them into, you know, topic-centric episodes. That's just always a delight to me.
I just like telling people how I think they should be living their lives. But
yeah,
that's just the Virgo in me.
I mean, you're good at that. Why not? Okay, here's an interesting one to start. Why are my orgasms with a partner smaller and less intense than the ones I have by myself? This I really liked because I've definitely noticed this also. And I feel like it's the inverse of the typical discourse about orgasms, which is that partnered orgasms are in some way more intense or more meaningful or something than solo orgasms. But I've always kind of found it to be the other way. Like, I more consistently have huge, intense orgasms by myself. Why do you think that that is?
For a couple reasons. When you're alone, like, you have both ends of that feedback loop. You can adjust and make minute adjustments to do things that feel good to yourself in a way that would be a lot harder to articulate to another person, particularly if you're turned on. Like, you can move your finger that, like, eighth of an inch to the right, and without even thinking about it, you'll do it naturally. But explaining that to your partner takes several steps, and by the time you get there, well, now maybe your body wants something else. And it's a lot more complicated. So you're just able to read your own responses better, which I think makes a lot of sense. The other side of that, at least in my own experience, is that when I am jerking off alone, I am not thinking about or paying attention to anything other than what is happening in my body and what I am doing to my body. Yeah. So I'm able to, like, really fall into that feeling of the orgasm and really focus on the orgasm. When I'm playing with someone else, regardless of what we're doing, even when I'm coming, there is a part of my brain that is like, so what's going on with them? Are they doing good? Is this like, how do I look when I'm coming? How do I sound? Is there someone in the other? Should I be quieter? Do I have roommates that are home? Like, there are all of those other things that I'm thinking about, whether they're from a source of anxiety or just a, like, I'm having fun and this is a social experience and I want to continue to be engaged socially with the other person experiencing or people experiencing this with me. And that grounds you a little bit. And an orgasm, in my experience, tends to be the opposite of grounding. tends to get me a little lost for a minute or two.
A little death.
And being with a person keeps one foot on the ground. And I don't know, I think the other side of this is that you hear my orgasms with a partner are less strong and it feels like a value judgment, and that's not necessarily the case for me. Like, there are a lot of solo orgasms that I've had that I'm like, you know, people didn't need to be around for that. That was, like, I don't know if you've ever come so hard where you're like, that probably wasn't even hot to watch. That was, I, like, ripped that out of me. That was almost uncomfortable, but great. I don't know. I needed it, but the world doesn't need to see it. and I think that's okay.
Yeah, I think you made a lot of really great points there. And especially I love that you touched on, you know, both physical and emotional factors, because I think that those are both huge factors here. I know for me, one thing that has helped me, if you're looking for, like, concrete advice, is sometimes the issue for me is partners may not know exactly when I'm orgasming and may not be able to, therefore, continue really consistent stimulation at that moment. And so if you want to chat with your partner beforehand about, like, how comfortable are you if I kind of grab your head and, like, hold it in place while I'm coming while you're going down on me, or how comfortable are you if I grab your hand and, you know, hold it in a certain place or make it do a certain thing while I'm coming? I think that it is good to have that conversation beforehand, both because sometimes it can be a bit invasive, you know, to have your head held down if you're not expecting it, but also because, you know, it just gives you that feeling of, like, I have permission to do this and this is okay to do. And you can also communicate, like, this is what would help me, you know, come harder. And probably your partner wants to see and feel that. Also, as far as anxiety and stuff about, like, worrying about a partner, like, the way that you were describing it kind of made me think about how, like, maybe you know, physically, it's not always quite as satisfying, partner sex versus masturbation, but emotionally, there is another aspect. Like, I can think of so many times when I've had really intense orgasms by myself, and then I just suddenly was, like, you know, alone in a room and felt sort of empty and hollow and was sort of like, why did I do that? I don't know. It was just kind of a whole different mood. And so I think you can, you know, look at your orgasms experience overall in terms of both physically and emotionally and say, like, you know, it was satisfying even if it wasn't quite the same. I don't think you need to, like, make a value judgment about, like, the orgasm was worse. I think it was maybe worse on one plane, but, like, possibly better on other planes. And if that's not the case, you can probably talk to your partner about ways to improve that.
Yeah, and for me, I come during partnered sex quite often, sometimes quite hard. That's not necessarily what I go to partnered sex for.
Right, exactly.
There are so many other things that I get out of it. So maybe, yeah, if I was putting the orgasm next to the orgasm and ranking them, sure, maybe one would win and be, like, better or stronger. But the stronger orgasm that I had while jerking off came after about 3 minutes under some covers in the dark, and then I fell asleep.
Right.
Which was, like, great and important for me, and not the most memorable or mind-blowing experience, right? But I spend an hour and a half in my partner's rope, and then, you know, they fuck me with a strap on and I come, and maybe it is not as strong as, like, a different orgasm. But I spent an hour with them, or, you know, an hour, hour and a half with them, connecting and feeling, like, loved and doted upon and paid attention to and hot and connected. Mm-hmm. And, like, all of that is also important.
Yeah, I think that this speaks to the emphasis that is put on orgasms in kind of mainstream sexual culture in a way that is, like, kind of not healthy. I mean, like, I am very interested in the sociological concept of the orgasm gap, which is the idea that, like, men have statistically more orgasms than women, especially in casual sex environments. And I do think it's a political issue in many ways. It has to do with the ways that the genders are treated and all of that kind of stuff. But at the same time, I also acknowledge orgasm is just one part of the journey. I mean, I know that as sex educators, we say this all the time, is focus on the journey, not the destination. But I think it is one of those things that, like, is easy to be like, well, I believe that, but, like, for my own life, that's not how I feel. Yeah, but I think that that's very true. And I think that the more you can, you know, think of your goal as pleasure rather than orgasm, the more that you will probably enjoy the sex that you're having, regardless of whether you're orgasming or not. God, there's so many interesting questions that I'm just, like, trying to pick which ones I really, really love. Okay. Related to that, we got a question from a cis woman who is wondering, how do I get over feeling sad that I can't have orgasms from penetration alone? I feel you. I have been there. I remember, like, even, like, being a sex educator at the time, when I first had penetrative sex with a cis man, I was sad that I didn't, you know, have amazing instant orgasms from it. Like, there was so much buildup in terms of how porn talks about it and how, you know, mainstream publications talk about it. And even my own friends saying that, like, PIV was very, you know, important and pleasurable for them, which, like, may well be true. And that's fine. That doesn't, you know, have an effect on how my body works, though. And so there was a sense for me of, like, even, like, loneliness. Like, you know, my partner had an orgasm and then fell asleep. And then, you know, I'm there by myself being like, what's wrong with me? Why do I still feel, you know, unsatisfied? I think I hear this most often from straight women. And I think it would behoove you to look into queer sexuality and queer porn in particular, because I think in queer sex, there is often an emphasis on like, not PIV, and also, like, not on centralizing all of one's sexual hopes and expectations into one act. Like, it's sort of like, well, that didn't get you off, so, like, maybe let's try something else. I know that can be a problem when you're dating, like, kind of an asshole who, like, doesn't care about your orgasms, and that's a whole separate issue, but I understand that it can be frustrating. The biggest thing for me was, like, adding clitoral stimulation to PIV. And I know, like, at first for me, it was a little bit like, I'm upset that I even have to do this. Like, it makes me feel that my body is broken, that it just doesn't, you know, come naturally from penetration with nothing else. But as soon as I started having orgasms during PIV from adding, you know, my fingers or a vibrator on my clit, like the pleasure and the intimacy of that was so great that I just, I don't know, I wasn't as sad anymore about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so I am a person who comes from penetration. So I really appreciate that insight. and like, I can understand why that can feel frustrating. And I think that's a really common anxiety. And I'm sure if you listen to this show, you know that despite, what the media and everything says, that is the more common experience for cis folks, for cis women.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say people with vulvas, but like, oh no, man, you put me on T and it was a whole other thing. Anyway.
Yeah, and I don't think that there's many studies about like trans folks or non-binary mm-hmm. folks in terms of the orgasm gap, and there really needs to be, because I am very curious about that data. I would be super curious to know how that affects these stats.
Absolutely. They're fucking other queer people, though, which is also a whole other,
yeah,
like, interesting thing. Anyway, because I'm like, oh, there's biological and sociological implications. Anyway, all of that aside, if you listen to this show, I think you're probably familiar and understand that it's entirely normal to not come just from vaginal penetration. Mm-hmm. The majority of people with clits need them to be touched to feel good. It's literally the only purpose that serves. Like, it's what it's there for, is to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a very common experience. However, I understand, like, it can be a thing that you want. And you can, many people can teach their body to learn to come in new ways. It may be easier or harder for you, depending on your body, and it may or may not be worth the effort, right? You, like, the answer may be, oh, I can find other ways to come, and that feels great, and that's fine. Or this might be a fun little Easter egg you feel like putting yourself on, like, a little training regimen for, and having a lot of fun learning how to do, and feeling really accomplished when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great, too. And if that's the case, I would recommend focusing on something that reliably can make you come and getting yourself as close to the edge as you can, and then trying to allow just penetration to get you over, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to get your body used to the idea of coming from this feeling of penetration, and you can slowly back off on, say, it's clitoral stimulation, or you have a favorite sex toy that you want to use, or something like that. You can slowly back off or take it away further and further away from the orgasm, and like extend that gap a little bit, and just get your body used to the idea of, oh, this is also a thing that can make us come. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of our orgasm habits can come out of routine, right? You don't necessarily need to be on your stomach to come, but if you've been on your stomach when you came every time you came for the past 4 years, your body is going to be like, no, but that's how we orgasm. That's how yeah. I've been doing it. What do you mean there are other ways? So it can take a little while to get used to it. So you can definitely kind of go on a like fun adventure of trying to teach your body to come in new and interesting ways. But you are by no means obligated to.
Yeah. I think that's the important thing to know here is, if it's important to you personally, cool. There's probably some things you can do, including stuff like the coital alignment technique, the CAT, which helps with like aligning your partner's body so that it's stimulating your clit during penetration. I researched that with my first cis male partner because he really wanted to get me off from PIV. And we read some article somewhere where it was like, if you do this right, it'll feel like you did 1,000 sit-ups the next day. And he was like, I don't think that's for me. And I was like, yeah, I don't.
You know what? Never mind. I don't want to try that hard. Fine. Never mind.
There are some things you can do, but I think you know, the most important thing is reframing it to realize that you are normal if you can't come that way. And it is okay. And, like, it really is only straight culture that feels the need for you to come this way. And I know it's hard to unlearn straight culture. I've been a queer, you know, out as a queer person for almost a decade and a half. It's still hard for me to unlearn straight culture in many ways. But yeah, I mean, there's just so much beyond straight culture that is so much more fun and pleasurable. And yeah, I get why you would feel sad about it, but you certainly don't need to feel ashamed or broken or anything like that about it.
And since both of us kind of started this in, started our sex ed careers in sex toy world, I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention there are quite a few sex toys that can, like, very easily and unobtrusively be integrated into PIV in a way that can add stimulation, but you might be able to, like, Jedi mind trick your brain into thinking that, oh, this is just PIV. The first one that obviously comes to mind is the Wii Vibe, and they also have, like, the Tango, which is a great little bullet vibe. I think the Jeju Mimi tends to fit between bodies really well and can just kind of fit in the palm of your hand if you want. Any, like, rechargeable tiny little vibrator tends to be really, really great for that, particularly if you can just kind of cup it in your hand.
And if you find particular positions make it cumbersome to use a vibe, you can try other positions. And if anyone says anything to you about how you using a vibe is shitty in any way, you have my permission not to fuck that person anymore, because you should have sex with people who care about your pleasure, and I firmly believe this.
And if you need a friend to remind you of the shitty thing they said every time you consider fucking them again, feel free to recruit
drag
them.
Me. Just drag me. Yeah, I have one dude I used to fuck who told me at one point that me using my vibrator was weird. I don't remember exactly what he said, but I did continue to think he was cute. And every time I talked to you about him, you did say, but he thinks you using a vibrator is weird. And I was like, oh yeah, never mind.
I never told you not to fuck him either. You'd just be like, oh, like, I'm thinking of going and seeing this guy. And I was like, great, if you fuck him, he's going to be weird about your vibe. And you were like, you're right, he is. Never mind. Okay.
That would be okay if he was outstanding at, like, oral or fingering. He was not.
Nah. Okay. Of course, I've also been. No, it's fine.
I have dragged that guy so many times on this show. My goodness. Okay, that was kind of a big emotional question. I think maybe, like, more of a logistical or physical question would be best next. Like, for example, why do I sometimes squirt without orgasming, or vice versa? I cannot tell you why. I once bought a book called The Science of Orgasm because I really hoped it would explain some things to me, and it really was not what I was looking for. It was more about, you know, things that happen during orgasm, like heart rate and blood pressure and stuff like that. So I can't really tell you why, but I can tell you, from my understanding, it's a very normal thing. I often squirt after orgasm, because that is when I am kind of, like, most relaxed, and also my G-spot is the most sensitive, so that tends to be when that happens for me, although sometimes it does happen during orgasm as well, or before. But yeah, I think it's kind of a porn construction that squirting should always happen at orgasm. I think it is kind of related to the, you know, cis male construction that, like, for them, usually ejaculation happens at orgasm. So it would make sense that that's, like, maybe what they would find hot or what they would respond to. Certainly it happens for some people. I think it does not necessarily have to happen, and it does not mean you're doing anything wrong. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. When I was a person who squirted, I am not anymore, but it feels like...
Oh, no, what happened? Is that a T thing?
Testosterone. Yeah.
That's so wild. Why do you think that happened?
I mean, I also, like, it's just a lot harder to self-lubricate now.
Oh, okay.
Because all of the hormones that do that go away with the tea, because there are also the hormones that do a bunch of other lady-adjacent things that I would prefer not to. but I just buried them under a ton of testosterone. That's what happened. it is a skill, like... like we were talking about earlier, though, it is on my list of, like, ah, that is a thing I would like to relearn now, though. I am craving that again. Because for a while, it would have made me feel hella dysphoric. But, like, I'm back to, like, that would be fun. We should figure out how to do that again. But for a while, when I was jerking off, I squirted. I couldn't not squirt, which was actually, like, hella inconvenient. And, like, I, like, had to lay on a liberator every time I jerked off. It was not great. But, God, where was I even going with this? But in my experience, they generally happened separately. Or I would have an orgasm adjacent feeling. This was also a time when I was having a lot more multiple orgasms than I do now. I can on occasion, but now it's a trick when I do it. Mm-hmm. I manage it and I'm like, oh, look at me go. actually, I'm usually with my partner and I'm like, oh, look at you go. Anyway. They tended to happen separately for me, or I would squirt during, like, some what I tended to think of as, like, warm-up orgasms and not during, like, my, like, strongest one where I was like, ah, now I am done. That has released the tension that I needed. Mm-hmm. And I think biologically it's just they are both systems that involve muscle contractions and bearing down mm-hmm. in the same general area. So, yeah, and they both feel good, right? Mm-hmm. And are caused by things that feel good. So, like, it makes sense that they would happen congruously or around the same time as each other, but they are different processes. Mm-hmm. And they are different processes in cis men as well.
Yeah.
And they can be separated in cis men as well. Mm-hmm. That's a cool trick to learn, but it just doesn't happen as, I guess, naturally with them.
Yeah, and related to that, we also got a question about, is there a difference between squirting and female ejaculation? There's a fair amount of debate about this. Yeah, I tend to use squirting these days purely because it is non-gendered, and generally what I mean when I say squirting is someone with a vulva ejaculating a fluid, and so you can see how the phrase female ejaculation isn't quite right because not everybody with a vulva is female. However, our friend Kate Sinclair, who is a pornographer, did a video in which a cis man ostensibly squirts. I've watched it. Mm. I went into it kind of skeptical, like Dana Scully from The X-Files or something, but I was like, nope, that's a cis man squirting out of his dick. And I've met this cis man. He actually like kind of flirted with me at an event once, and I was like, mm-hmm. oh, you're beautiful. And then I watched him in porn later, and I was like, oh my God. And also, you can squirt out of your dick. This is amazing.
Was it a fluid of a different consistency than you would describe cum, or was it the velocity that it like...
It was not like semen, and it was not at the moment of orgasm. It was much more, in color and consistency, as far as I can remember, it was much more like what is known as female ejaculate. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it definitely made me wonder some things about bodies and gender, and I will link that in the show notes. So you can see it if it's still up, which I assume it is because it's amazing. Yeah, so I think like squirting to me is the more inclusive term, although problematically it does sound a little bit less medical or professional or something, but you know, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah. I don't love it, but I have yet to find something I like better, so...
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I do think sometimes people think of squirting as having the connotation of, like, range. Like, someone that can get fucking distance with it.
Right.
Which is not everyone. Sometimes squirting is getting off the bed when you're done and being like, oh, shit, all right, goddamn, all right, guess it's laundry day.
Mine is more like gushing, and my partner usually says that basically if they're using a toy inside me or if they're using their hands, like the toy will catch most of it, or the palm of their hand will catch most of it. So it's definitely not like it's like squirting, you know, huge range, but there is definitely a liquid being dispersed that is not, you know, regular run-of-the-mill vaginal lubrication. I think I'm also going to link in the show notes an article I wrote for Maisonneuve magazine about squirting, because it contains a lot of the science. And I like did a really deep dive on the science as far as is squirting pee, because a study came out that suggested that it was. And I talked to the main scientist of the study, and I wasn't a fan of him. I don't think he's a great scientist. Spoiler alert. So I will link that in the show notes if you want to read about me being angry.
Which you absolutely should. The short version of my opinions on this is like, I don't care.
Yeah, like, it's a sexy
I'm
fluid.
I'm so tired of this debate. And like, it is a fluid that comes out of the urethra. And in my experience, it is nothing like my I am also a person who has been peed on. So like,
yeah,
my experience of these fluids are fairly different. Yeah. However, they're going through the same tube. There's probably some urine in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all coming from the same place. And, like, if it's hot and everyone involved is enjoying it, I don't really care if it's pee. But that's my lukewarm take after hearing this debate for fucking years.
Yeah, I know. It is a tired debate. I have a listener question that I'm actually really curious about your advice on. The question is, what can I say to a partner who always acts like sex is over because they had an orgasm when I haven't yet? And I definitely know that this has happened to me, especially on casual hookups. And usually what happens is after the sex is ostensibly over, like all the signs of sex being over have happened other than me coming, the person will be like, did you come? And I'll be like, no. And then they will make a decision to not do anything. And what should one do in that situation is my question for you.
I mean, my like glib snarky answer is not fuck them again, but
but what if you're dating them and this is honestly such a common problem and it's such a bummer.
Yeah, and I think practically I would, first of all, head it off at the pass, right? Like, give them a second, like, not mid-orgasm. Like, hey, what are you going to do for me next, though? Excuse me. Are you done? Are you done yet? It's my turn. Like, let them have their orgasm. Let them have their few seconds as a person who is, if I have come hard enough, not on this plane for a minute or two. Like, let me have that. But I would continue contact. Like, I wouldn't necessarily roll off them and just lay on the other side of the bed in ways that, for me and every sitcom in reality, signifies sex is done. I would, you know, stay close to them and touch them in, like, comforting and loving ways and still be kind of cuddly or whatever. And when I get the vibe, because especially if this is a person you're playing with for a minute, you're probably used to it. When I get the vibe, they're kind of coming back to reality. They're kind of, like, coming out of that, like, blissful, fuzzy place. I would, like, lean in really close and be like, God, that was so hot. I'd really love if you fingered me right now. Mm-hmm. Like, or I can't stop thinking about how blank would feel. You know, I like, God, I love watching you come. And now all I can think about is having your mouth on me. Mm-hmm. And give them like, you know, like, God, that made me so horny, right? Like, emphasize that you still want to come without being like, bitch, my turn. Like, yeah. Like, excuse, you know what I mean? Without being like, well, I didn't yet. What you gonna do about it? Mm-hmm. Which is certainly an option, but is going to probably leave someone feeling a little more defensive, where if you are framing it as, like, more hot, sexy things, and if they push back against that or are, like, really not feeling it, because, like, refractory periods are a thing, right, that mm-hmm. you can fully just have a moment where you're, like... Like, I've had times where I came and I was like, oh, I didn't mean to be done, but I'm done, is the thing.
Yeah.
Whoops, here we are. You can also, like, it's a great opportunity for, do you want to see me use one of my toys? Do you want to watch me make myself come? Do you want to, like, it can still be a partnered participatory experience. Mm-hmm. Even if you are the person doing more of the work, as long as that is a thing that feels comfortable for you. My partner is a person who gets off easily by grinding on pretty much anywhere on me with creativity. So there have also been times where I'm like, well, like, I'm shot, but, like, I would like to watch you come. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, either, you know, grind on my thigh or whatever. And we can still, like, participate in a way that I'm like, yeah, but I ain't, like, my dick ain't fucking you, though. It's not, my guy's taking a nap right now. I don't, we're, leave a message after the beep. I don't know.
I feel like this question is weirdly different whether you're talking about, like, a cis man or, like, anyone else, which honestly is often a problem in sex advice. I really feel like it is, and it's kind of a bummer. Mm-hmm. I wish that, like, I know that we have some cis male listeners who will email us and be like, well, I'm not like the other cis men, and, like, I'm glad that they exist. But, yeah, because I feel like when I was hooking up with, like, cis straight men, oftentimes it was, like, if they were like, did you come? The very fact that they were asking me that question led me to believe that they were not going to really do anything with the information I would give them in response to that question. Whereas I feel like a lot of queer people, if they ask you that question, they want to know genuinely because they want to get you off genuinely. So
I feel like the energy I've heard, not in my experience actually with cis men, but the energy I've heard for a lot from a lot of other folks is more like, did I win the game? Better luck next time.
Yeah, like the game is already over and they're checking if they won or not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think a thing for me that would probably feel comfortable but also maybe be effective would be to be like, you know, sexy whisperer in their ear, like, I'm going to finish myself off. And if you want to be complimentary, you can also take that moment to be like, that was so hot watching you come. I'm going to finish myself off. And then you can grab your vibe or do whatever normally works for you. And if they want to, they can join in. But also, as you said, like, they may be pretty worn out or they may not want to or whatever. But hopefully they're going to, you know, do something to contribute to your pleasure, whether it's just like cuddling up to you or like saying a few dirty words in your ear or whatever it may be. Yeah, I don't know if I have anything else to say about that. It's like such a prevalent problem. Like, I wish that I had developed more of a solution to it when I was like casually fucking people. But I think my solution was basically the first thing you said, which was, I'm not going to fuck those people again. Like, and they may or may not take the hint, but my hope is that, you know, if they notice that people are not sleeping with them again after the first time, it might be because they're not giving a shit about, you know, their partner's pleasure.
Yeah. The few hookups I can think back on where I had, like, similar experiences to that, by the time they come, if I hadn't gotten off or wasn't, like, close to getting off by the time they did, I was I wasn't having fun and I wasn't gonna come. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I'm like, I would like you to give it another go. Like, it's like, I'm, you know, it's fine. You made, I was gonna say valiant effort. You, maybe an effort. I don't know. You were here. That happened. Gonna go jerk off, I guess. Like, there are definitely, like, the times where it was like, I was like, wow, you're making no effort to make me come and, like, not interested. Like, I wasn't really all that invested in being like, okay, now you go down on me. Because I was like, well, you weren't great at it, so. I guess. I don't know.
It's kind of the vibe. It reminds me of, like, at family parties when I was a kid. And, like, we would get to the end of, like, dinner or whatever. And the women would just, like, go start, you know, doing dishes or loading the dishwasher or whatever it would be. And the men would just kind of be there hanging out. Like, well, dinner's done. And it is very tempting sometimes, especially as someone who has been, like, socialized in a way that encourages, like, not being vocal or not, you know, asserting your needs, to just, like, not say anything. And that's a valid choice, I think. Like, sometimes you just, like, either don't care enough to, you know, fucking add anything else, or you, like,
gotta take care of their feelings and shit.
Yeah, it's like a whole other thing. So often when, like, random hookups were like, did you come, I would, you know, suppress my laughter and then go, no, but it's okay. And what I really meant was, no, but, like, I mean, you showed your true colors here, so I'm gonna go home and either jerk off or not and never think about you again.
Yeah, no, but you're not gonna be able to fix it, so Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's not to say that, like, if I hooked up with someone and they didn't make me come, that's not automatically I'm never going to talk to you again. Like, it may well have been, especially when I was going on hookups, I was often, like, you know, drinking a lot, which, you know, inhibits my ability to orgasm. So it may be like, no, but, like, I got really close, or, like, I feel like I could under different circumstances, and mm-hmm. I would like to see you again and try that out. But – yeah, so often this is just a point where I realize what someone is really like when they ask me this question. Okay, here's an interesting question. Is it okay if I just don't like having orgasms? Or, like, is it a deal breaker for potential partners that I can't or don't orgasm? And I just read a Reddit post today on the sex subreddit from a guy who, like, a cis man who has never really liked penetrative sex and also doesn't like coming because he feels like he's just sort of, like, tired and, like, depressed afterward, and he really enjoys the sensation of, like, all that sexual energy building up and building and building and not really ever you know, coming to some kind of resolution or end. And these people do exist. They are valid. I do think that in many cases, you probably will need to have a conversation with a partner at some point to explain this to them, because most people are sort of calibrated to think orgasm is the goal. And I think in that conversation, it's important to emphasize the different ways that you do receive pleasure and, like, what does feel good for you, rather than just saying this thing doesn't feel good for me, because you want to be giving your partner options in terms of what they can do that would actually make you happy.
Yeah. I mean, like, short answer, is it okay? Yeah. Is it going to be a deal breaker for some people? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it is a thing you're going to have to talk about, and there are some people that you won't be compatible with, and there are some people who it will take some time getting used to, because it may feel like a blow to their ego, or it may ramp up their anxiety a little bit, because as we were talking about earlier, right, orgasm can feel kind of like a marker of how well I did the sex thing. Mm-hmm. And that is the thing that is tied to a lot of people's ego. I was going to say a lot of cis men, but honestly, a lot of people's ego.
Yeah.
I think this is actually something that, at least in straight couples, can hit cis women harder than cis men.
It's true.
To have sex with someone with a penis who doesn't come at the end of it, they're like, every narrative I told me, like, every narrative in the world told me this is the culmination of sex, so what do?
Right.
And told me that you're going to want to come all of the time, and it's going to be super easy for you, and that's just the thing that you do.
Yeah.
Which is also a lot to live up for, or a lot to live up to for folks with penises. So yeah, I think there will be some conversations. There may need to be some hand-holding and some re-emphasis of, like, this is what's fun for me, this is the pleasure I enjoy, like, no, like, this is really true for me, I'm not, like, just saying it because you can't do it, you know? There may be some reassurance there, and there may be some people who just, like, don't want to sign up for that because it doesn't look like the sex that they enjoy, right? If you're playing with a cum fetishist and you're not gonna cum, that might be a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. But there are lots of other things that might be a deal breaker, right? Maybe you don't like butt stuff and they do, right? Maybe you, you know, want to tie someone up and they're like, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. There are tons of reasons that we're not compatible. And yeah, this might fall on that list, but that doesn't make it any less of a valid way to express your sexuality. And that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be plenty of people out there who are compatible with you.
Yep, for sure. I also think it may be helpful to think about, even if you don't totally know what does bring you pleasure other than, you know, potential orgasm or sexual pleasure, like, explore that, try different things, because there are definitely non-orgasm things that feel in some sense climactic to me, whether it be like someone fucking me for so long that I start crying in a cathartic way, or a really good spanking that sends me into subspace, or I squirt from a lot of, you know, G-spot stimulation, or just like a really long kissing session that, you know, sends me into a certain flow state type headspace. And I think that this will be helpful both for you and for your partner in terms of saying, like, these types of experiences are the goals that are important to me in sex. These types of, you know, peaks and valleys in a way that is not orgasm, but still feels really good and feels like maybe a natural stopping point or a natural high point for a sexual encounter for you. Mm. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Dildorks. We really do love doing these listener questions episodes. So if you have questions, we're always happy to receive them, especially via email at thedildorks@gmail.com. I also do a call out for questions almost every week on Instagram. My Instagram handle is girly_juice, and those are usually in my Instagram story. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net. You can find some of my other writing at katesloan.substack.com. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, as I said, at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find information about my workshops and all of my writing at bextalksex.com. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at bextalksex. If you want to see me naked and that video I mentioned earlier, plus a bunch of other fun stuff, I'm also naked on the internet at Billy Lore. Less clever over there, more dick. You know, you pick your version. Together we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram and at thedildorks.com. You can also find us by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. I say that every week, but you probably did that to get here. But I'm going to remind you, you should go back and rate and review us because it makes us look real great and brings us up in the charts. If you want to throw some money at us, you can go to patreon.com/thedildorks to toss a couple of bucks our way and listen to our exclusive Patreon-only hypothetical segments.
Thank you so much to Protodome, who did our amazing theme song, I Want You in My Bedroom. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye. Like, it's incredibly common, despite what people hear, and you probably... That's where I wanted to take this. I'm, like, just rambling until I found the thing my brain was saying.
I like when you do that.
Great. I'm Bex. You could... I'm Bex and I have a hairball. I'm Bex. You can find my writing at Bex... It's almost like I don't do this every week.